Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Everyone, and welcome to another edition of MMA Monthly, the only show in the Anfield Index podcast channel that never lives up to its name. Yes, we're more dreadful at keeping up with our moniker of keeping and churning out shows on a monthly basis than Dejan Lovren is at defending. But fear not, we are back again, and hopefully we will this time keep up on a monthly basis now that Dave Hendrick is back over in Ireland. So, Dave, glad to have you back. Welcome back. And how are you doing?
I'm good, mate. It's nice now to be on MMA Annual, as it has become. But yeah, like, I mean, my own podcast is called Another Podcast, but it had been that long since I'd done one. It's pretty much just a podcast. So, yeah, it's been completely my fault that this has not happened. So, good to be back, and hopefully we will be able to rock this out every month, because I think people are growing an affinity for MMA over the last couple of years, the way me and you have over the last 15 years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's plenty of buzz and excitement for especially the large UFC shows. And we've had some superstars that have come and gone in the last 2 or 3 years within UFC that really transcended the sport and caught the imagination of sports fans worldwide, and we'll talk about one of those individuals later in the show. In the meantime, there's still plenty of fantastic talent that are competing in UFC. And UFC, as usual, have not really hung around, already churned out 4 shows since the start of the year. And let's talk about some of the key fights that we've seen from those events. So let's start with UFC Fight Night, Stevens versus Choi, which took place on the 14th of January out of St. Louis, Missouri. Now, this, in terms of its main card, was an okay event, nothing particularly special. Most notable, in fact, for the return of UFC Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats, who had a horrific accident, was a near-death experience, in fact, in Matt Hughes. Really horrible car wreck back in June of last year, and he appeared at this show. Emotional scenes, great to see him back, and he's certainly one of the great MMA fighters that we've ever seen, isn't he, Dave?
Yes, absolutely. Through the sort of the dark era of the UFC, when Zuffa were buying the company and then running it at a massive loss, Matt Hughes was one of those shining lights of that era. Just a very consistent performer, knew what you were going to get with him. If it was a three-round fight, you were going to get 3 rounds of just Matt Hughes. If it was 5 rounds, it was 5 rounds of Matt Hughes. Takedowns, ground and pound, control, limited but very, very effective. A real throwback kind of fighter if you look at him now, because he's, that very specific wrestling-based game that you don't see a whole lot of anymore. But he was great, and he was the first great welterweight really in the UFC Not obviously not counting Hoist Gracie because he fought in the open weights, but yeah, Hughes was phenomenal, and of course it was great to see him back, and I'd love to see him back more in the UFC family. There has been talk that he has been suffering from depression, you know. I suppose after being such a big star and the limelight goes away, it can obviously have a very negative effect. So I'd like to see him back involved in some way. I think, like, you've got this big performance center now, and what better guy to bring in, say, your kickboxers and your jiu-jitsu fighters, and have somebody like Matt Hughes to help round the next great crop of UFC stars that are flocking to the performance center in massive numbers. Great to see him back, and I really hope he gets himself back in a good place.
Absolutely, here. Certainly one of my favourite fighters of all time where mixed martial arts is concerned. So glad to see him well on the road to recovery. On to the card itself then, as I said, not one of the great shows you'll ever see. We saw the return of Paige VanZant after over a year out from MMA in a disappointing loss for her to Jessica Rose Clark, where VanZant broke her arm. Which was, pretty bad for her career, because Paige is somebody that UFC really sees somebody special. They managed to get her onto Dancing with the Stars, which is the US equivalent of Strictly Come Dancing, and that was huge for her profile. But unfortunately for her, hasn't really been able to achieve the success in the octagon that UFC hoped that she would, and certainly far from a flyweight contender at this stage, but still very young, has plenty of time to improve and really get to where UFC wants it to be. But the main event then was a featherweight contest between the South Korean Do Ho Choi against seasoned veteran of UFC Jeremy Stephens. This was a fight that only went into the second round, all action, but it was the American that won. Jeremy Stephens with a great TKO, finishing Choi in impressive fashion. What did he make of this one, Dave?
It was what I expected. Two guys whose game is primarily to try and knock the other person out, and that's all Jeremy Stephens really is capable of doing, is just, you know, ploughing forward and throwing bombs. And obviously this fight was promoted to the main event after Uriah Hall collapsed on his way to try and make weight for the fight against Vitor Belfort, and that fight had to be scrapped. So this one, that would have made this a fairly solid card, because this would have been a good co-main event fight, and obviously, as you mentioned, Paige was on the fight for, in terms of the draw, Paige would be the biggest draw to the casual fan, because A, how she looks, and B, she was bringing that crossover audience from Dancing with the Stars. But this fight gets pushed into the main card slot, and it was exciting. It was. Nobody can go home disappointed having seen this fight. Choi is game. The guy has energy and heart for days. And Jeremy Stephens, while mainly known to many people as the guy Conor McGregor destroyed with that "who the fuck is that guy" comment, he is a very, very good striker. He's very powerful. But like I say, I mean, he's limited. He's now 27 and 14 in his career. He's never going to be a contender. But it's good to see him still in there, still fighting. He's still relatively young at 31. So, I mean, he's got fights to come. And the UFC will always keep a guy like him around, because his fights are rarely boring. Even if he ends up going to the decision, it's rarely a boring fight. He's very, very hard to finish. I think he's only been finished maybe once by Eve Edwards in terms of knockout. I know he's been submitted a couple of times, but his fights do tend to, if he doesn't knock the person out, they tend to go to distance, and he tends to be exciting. So that's what the UFC are looking for. If you're not going to be a contender, at least put on a show. And they did. They didn't disappoint. I thought it was a good fight. And overall, a pretty solid card. Not exceptional, but a solid card.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a low-key start to the year, but certainly did its job. And ratings-wise, actually was the best rated fight night in 2 years, believe it or not, despite a weak lineup. It just proved the drawing power of Paige, that she was on the undercard of this, and for UFC to draw its best fight night rating in since early 2016, that was quite impressive. And showed the kind of drawing power that she has. We had a much bigger, more high-profile event just the following weekend in Boston, Massachusetts, which hosted UFC 220. And this was actually a stacked lineup. Some really fine talent on display on this card. Islam Makhachev, you know, one of the promising, exciting lightweight talents. Dustin Ortiz, Rob Font, you know, some good fighters. But the two main events were the ones that everyone came to watch. And, you know, they didn't disappoint. First of all, we had a contest for the vacant light heavyweight championship between Daniel Cormier, the former interim champion, and one of the fighters that's been on a real tear the last couple of years, Volkan Ozdemir. And, you know, there are plenty of people tipping Volkan to really dominate DC, but that didn't quite happen. DC once again showed his class, showed his quality, completely negated Volkan, and won the title in the second round in 2 minutes. That was a heck of an impressive display by the veteran Cormier.
Yeah, and I mean, like you say, this fight was heavily hyped. Ustamar was coming off that incredible win over Jimmy Manoa. He'd previously beaten Ovince St. Preux, so he was, you know, on the radar. But I do think, including myself, I think a lot of people bought into the hype. I mean, like, let's be honest, Jimmy Manoa is a very exciting fighter, but he's not an elite level fighter. And it was on the back of that that Ustamar sort of got pushed into this fight. But I'm glad you used the phrase vacant light heavyweight championship, Mo, because they'd just handed the title back to Cormier in bullshit fashion after he got his ass handed to him by John Jones, and then John Jones got popped for PEDs again. But you know, you should have to win a fight to win the title. So Cormier has done that now. Before this card, I thought it was just weird that they were putting the light heavyweight title and the heavyweight title on the same card, because you always hear talk of Dana's kind of scrambling around trying to find good main events for pay-per-views. Well, you could have had two good main events for two separate pay-per-views, but you ran them together. But now we know why. It would appear that the plan was always to put the winner of the Cormier Ustamar fight, both of whom have fought at heavyweight before and had some success, against the winner of Ngannou and Stipe Miocic. But Cormier looked great. one of the best performances of his career, I would suggest. A really, really impressive performance, and it sets things up nicely. It does set things up nicely.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. I mean, you know, Cormier, as you mentioned, is now lined up to fight the winner of that main event that we'll come on to in a moment between Miocic and Ngannou. But there's one fighter that's very disgruntled about Cormier not taking on the number one challenger in the light heavyweight division, and that's one Alexander Gustafsson.
Yes.
And, you know, he's very upset, expressed a lot of anger and upset the fact that he misses out yet again on what he feels is a well-deserved title shot. And unfortunately for him, he'll have to wait.
Yeah, Mo, I don't think he should have to wait. I really don't. I think he's the guy who gave John Jones the toughest fight of his career. In my view, he won that fight against John Jones. He should have been given a straight rematch. Never got it. Then, obviously, he lost in pretty spectacular fashion to Rumble. And then he fought Cormier. And again, I thought he won the fight against Cormier. Now, I know he lost by split decision, but I thought he won that fight. And he's had two good performances since. Obviously, a devastating knockout of Glover Teixeira in what was a fight of the night performance. But for me, he is the guy that needs to have his title shot. He has earned that title shot. He's beaten the people they've put in front of him. And you look at his hit list, Matyushenko, Thiago Silva, Shogun Hua, Jimmy Manoa, and now Glover. I mean, that's a pretty impressive, you know, list of guys he's beaten. And like I said, I thought he beat John Jones and Cormier. So for me, he has every right to be upset. He really, really does. And if the UFC were looking to put together a fight between a light heavyweight and a heavyweight, Gustafsson would have fought at heavyweight as well. He's big enough to carry the weight. He's got the power and the talent to do it. And if he'd fought Cormier, say, even on the 220 card, and won, they still would have had their heavyweight against light heavyweight bout coming up. So I think Gustafsson is rightly annoyed, and I think the UFC are going to have to make this one up. Then their way of making it up is just to put him in another fight, but they're going to need to pay him and pay him well. But he needs to be the next title defense at light heavyweight, regardless of what happens when Cormier faces Stipe.
Oh yeah, completely agree. And as soon as this fight is over, the Cormier light heavyweight champion against the heavyweight champ, Gustafsson deserves a title shot shortly thereafter. He'll probably have to wait 3 or 4 months to let the champion recover, get back into training camp. And
Do you think might they have him have Gustafsson fight for an interim belt in the meantime? You know how they love an interim title fight.
Oh God, please!
It's against who though? Like, who's out there aside from him that is in a position to say I deserve a shot at the heavyweight title? I don't see anyone else on the roster that is currently in position to demand a shot at the title. So they probably don't have anyone that they could really sell as an interim title contender against Gustafsson. But with the UFC being the UFC, it might be something they consider.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, they love an interim belt. They love confusion. It wouldn't surprise me if they tried that. But as you say, the light heavyweight division is the weakest we've seen for many, many years. You think back to 10, 12 years ago and how stacked that division was, especially after Pride went under and, you know, some of their great, what were known as middleweight fighters, who were the same 205 fighters, came across. That division was unbelievably stacked.
Loaded. I mean,
Shogun and Wanderlei, and, you know, you name it, you could go on and on.
Dell, Rampage. You had Dan Henderson prepared to fight it that way. Anderson Silva prepared to fight it that way. You had Forrest
Tito,
Griffin.
If you count him. Yeah, Tito, if you count him as well. I mean, you know, we obviously have had our discussions in the past about Tito and how good or otherwise he might have been. But, you know, certainly a big-name fighter. So really, really stacked. So compared to the depth of roster back then to what it is now, big, big change for the worse. But I'd prefer them to just hold fire. Gustafsson probably won't want to just sit around doing nothing for 10 months. I mean, I'm sure he'd like to have another fight then. The risk obviously is him losing a fight against, I don't know, somebody like Patrick Cummings, and then that title shot is gone. So it's about whether he's prepared to wait, you know, close to a year for that title shot, or if he is prepared to take on another fight just to keep things going, keep him ticking over. So it is one to keep an eye on. But then we came to the main event, the heavyweight champion in action once again, Stipe Miocic against the monster, the fighter that people thought really would cause the champ all sorts of problems. One of the hardest hitters in all of combat sports, Francis Ngannou. And, this fight in some ways went how I expected it to be. Ngannou just came out slinging absolute haymakers in the opening round, all of which certainly didn't flushly connect. And in the process, he blew himself out. And then the only thing I was then impressed by is the fact that the fight went the distance after that. It was a victory for Miocic, but Ngannou certainly hung in there for the duration. And despite being winded after only 5 minutes, still somehow managed to look impressive.
Agreed. And sorry, just one point before I talk with this. Looking at the UFC light heavyweight rankings, it's Cormier, Gustafsson, Teixeira, who Gustafsson just beat, Ustmar, who Cormier just beat, Manoa, who has lost badly a couple of times recently, Ovince St. Preux, and Shogun Hua. There's nobody there for Gustafsson to fight. But yeah, in terms of this fight here, I think Ngannou needs to have a real long, hard think about whether he has the right coaching, because whoever advised him that your best game plan here is to go out and swing for the fences. Now, I know that is his normal fighting style, but you're going against a guy who is one of the all-time heavyweight greats, who has cardio for weeks, who has an iron jaw.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And who is coming in riding an incredible wave of momentum. I just don't think it was the right fighting style for this fight. And like you say, he blew himself out and it became an easy win for Stipe. And everybody, like you say, had said this was going to be the hardest fight of his career because Ngannou is a monster. And, you know, when you hear the likes of Joe Rogan and Dana White talk about Ngannou, it's almost in hushed tones because he's that scary. So Stipe looked great. He obviously had prepared well for the fight, had a very set game plan of what he was going to do. And like I said earlier, Ngannou lives basically at the UFC Performance Center, but he's not clearly not getting the wrestling training that he needs. To have someone like Matt Hughes go in there would have helped him massively. Ngannou needs to go away. He needs to work very, very hard on his wrestling and making himself more of a rounded fighter. And for Stipe, he faces Cormier next, but he really has just launched himself into the category of maybe the greatest heavyweight the UFC has ever had. He's, you know, got the record number of defenses now, and it's a low number, but at heavyweight, things change in a second. One punch can end a fight at heavyweight. Rarely happens at other weights, in terms of that sort of thing. I was just really impressed by Stipe. I have to say, I had my doubts about him early in his career, but he has just blossomed and he just keeps getting better and better.
Oh, that he does, absolutely. And, you know, one of the other things that was talked about around this event was the return of Cain Velasquez. And, you know, I think it's a shame that his next opponent won't be Velasquez because, you know, he's the type of fighter who, if anything, in terms of cardio, is even more well-conditioned than Stipe. And stylistically, as relentless a fighter as you'll ever see. You know, a horrible kind of fighter for Miocic in terms of the way he likes to fight. Really would struggle to get going. But certainly from a neutral's point of view, absolutely intriguing. So it looks like we'll have to wait for that one. And obviously, Miocic will compete against light heavyweight champion Cormier. I think it's in July from memory. And, you know, perhaps later in the year, we will see Velasquez back in action for that heavyweight championship, whether it's against Cormier or Miocic.
The thing is, he won't fight Cormier, though. Like, he's already said he won't fight Cormier, and Cormier is the same. They're best friends.
Yeah. And yeah, I think part of the AKA.
And to be honest, I think if Cain was ready to go and had maybe had one fight, I think he would have been the one to fight Stipe. I don't think Cormier would have even considered going up if Cain was ready to go. But I think Cain would be Kane is the best fighter I've seen at heavyweight in the UFC in terms of just the sheer ability and how he fights and how dominant he can be. I mean, the only two losses he's had were when he was injured, you know, and he just went and fought anyway. But the guy's been plagued. I think he's had like 10 major surgeries or something crazy. And you remember he got pulled from his last fight because he already had a surgery booked for after it. So the commission were like, well, if you need a surgery already, you're not healthy, so you can't fight. Kane against Stipe would be great. They're both so well-rounded. But like you say, Kane has that incredible cardio, pushes the fight at such a high tempo that would put Stipe into positions he's not used to. And that's the fight I really want to see. But Cormier's going to give him a hell of a contest, because Stipe is not the biggest heavyweight. Cormier obviously is a small heavyweight. Cormier has decent stand-up. Stipe's got really good stand-up, but Cormier's wrestling is incredible. It's a truly elite level. So that's going to be a good fight. I'm looking forward to that fight, Mo. I think it's always good to have super fights. I think that's the one thing the UFC have kind of lost is the super fight. We were praying for years that we'd get GSP against Anderson. We never got it. I know Conor fought Eddie, but Eddie wasn't a true star, you know, so it wasn't really a super fight. It was all about Conor. But I think this one is a super fight. I think this one can be classed as a super fight. So I look forward to that.
Indeed. And certainly when it comes to business, last year was a very disappointing year for UFC. You know, obviously with no Conor and Ronda Rousey not being around, their pay-per-view business suffered significantly. So they need all the super fights that they can put together in 2018. So moving on to an event that took place then on the 27th of January, out of the hometown of one Nature Boy Ric Flair, Charlotte, North Carolina. It was UFC on Fox, and it was a pretty entertaining card. Certainly my favourite show of 2018 thus far. And we had a four-fight main card with a really entertaining one between Drew Dober and Frank Camacho. It was a decision victory for Dober. We also saw Gregor Gillespie with an impressive TKO victory over Jordan Rinaldi. And in the featherweight contest, in a split decision, which was very close, also very entertaining, Andre Fili defeated Dennis Bermudez. But then we came to the main event, where one of the great pound-for-pound fighters was in action in a middleweight contest, Ronaldo Jacare Souza against Derek Brunson. This was eagerly awaited. A lot of pundits thinking it could go either way, but in the end, it was quite a decisive victory for Jacare, first round TKO over Brunson.
Yeah, and Jacare is an incredibly gifted fighter. He's got very good stand-up, and obviously his jiu-jitsu is arguably the greatest of any MMA fighter. And he just seems to have some sort of mental block when he's in a title fight or a number one contender fight, where he just, something goes wrong. But he looked $1 million in this fight. He was absolutely sensational. And Brunson's a good fighter. Brunson obviously coming off a big win over Machida. And Jacare just walked through him, just steamrolled him. And it puts Jacare back in good position where, you know, he's maybe one fight from a title shot again. So good to see Jacare getting the win and launching himself back into contention. And for Brunson, unfortunately, it's back to the drawing board. He needs to go and figure some stuff out.
Yes, indeed, he does. Certainly a relief for Jacare, visibly emotional after the fight. I think the loss to Rob Whittaker just over a year previous to this contest really was a major blow to Jacare. He perhaps felt primed and ready for the middleweight championship and missed out on that title opportunity. And instead, it's Whittaker that became the champion. But it's the champ Whittaker that Jacare is clearly targeting. And, it's perhaps just one more fight away from that eventual title shots. And if that happens, then Jack Bray would certainly be favoured despite coming in as the underdog. So that's certainly another one to look forward to later in the year. Then we had another UFC Fight Night, which took place this past weekend. The first UFC show from Brazil in 2018. And this was a very loaded lineup in terms of fights. But in terms of the main card, not a great show overall, but the semi-main event had Valentina Shevchenko, who's one of my favorite fighters, and without question, the best dancer in all of UFC. Again, showed off her moves after her contest with Priscila Cachera, and that was as dominant a victory as you'll see. Absolutely battered Cachera, bloodied her up, something rotten. I mean, she was just bleeding all over the place. I mean, Shevchenko was covered in blood at the end of the fight, but it was none of it was her own. It was all from Cachera. And, that was a scary performance by Shevchenko. And then we have the main event with 39-year-old Lyoto Machida, former protege of Antonio Inoki, one of the pioneers of MMA, who defeated Eric Anders by split decision in the middleweight contest. And, it kind of ended the show on a high after a bit of a disappointing undercard. But what did you make of these two fights, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, Shevchenko is a fantastic fighter. She's a truly elite level fighter. And this was just a case of one fighter being on a much higher level than the other. Priscilla was game, tried her best, but it was never really a contest and she got her ass kicked. Shevchenko, it has to be another title shot up next. I mean, I thought, the Nunes fight was razor close. She's the only real contender I can see for Amanda that's going to give her the type of fight people want to see. So I think that's got to be up next. For Shevchenko, obviously, I don't know what Nunes is doing next. I don't know if she's got anything. I don't think there's anything booked next, but maybe they'll just run that back. Machida is my favorite fighter in the UFC. I just love his style. I just love the fact that he's so traditional in his fighting style, but he's the most rounded fighter. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's got elite wrestling, elite striking, elite jiu-jitsu. The guy practices sumo and all sorts of everything to make himself as well rounded. And he's been unlucky a number of times. I mean, he's past his best now. And like, with respect to Eric Anders, this fight 4 years ago, Machida would have just finished him within two rounds. I didn't think it was a split decision. I thought Machida won it fairly comfortably. I had it 4-1 personally. But, it is what it is. But for Machida, I think he's going to become the gatekeeper of the division. I don't think we're going to see him in a number one contender or a title fight again. I think he'll be the guy that the younger guys have to get through to propel themselves up into the upper echelon of the division. And that's fine, but given the promise he had and when he won the UFC title for Rashad Evans and then he beat Shogun, and then they kind of screwed him by running the Shogun fight back again when... Really, I didn't think Shogun got screwed at all, and I think Machida did. But like for Machida now, he'd lost Weidman, lost to Rockhold, lost to Romero. I thought he beat Weidman personally, but I might have been biased. But that's it. I think he's done as a contender. I think he becomes the gatekeeper now.
Yeah, that's a great call. I mean, I think they perhaps saw Anders as somebody who, had he won, would have eked his way into the rankings as a top 15 fighter. But it was a narrow defeat. I mean, I personally had it 3-2. And I thought Anders certainly had his moments in the fight, certainly hurt. Shida bloodied him up when improper. But technically, Machida was on another level. And I think that's what perhaps got him through. His frequency of significant strikes over the five rounds was just too much for Anders, and perhaps a learning experience for the younger fighter, and hopefully he'll come back stronger as a result. Right, so looking ahead then, Dave, to what is shaping up to be a busy few weeks. We've again got shows on an almost weekly basis between now and perhaps the time we next record. So let's quickly run through those then in terms of the main fights from those cards. So first up is a show taking place next weekend out of Perth, Australia. And this is UFC 221. And again, we've got some decent names on the undercard, most notably the veteran Mark Hunt in a heavyweight contest against Curtis Blades. But the main event is Yoel Romero against Luke Rockhold. So these are two of the main contenders in the middleweight division. And you'd suspect that the winner of this will go on to fight Rob Whittaker for the championship. So in terms of predictions, Dave, which way do you see this one going?
I think I fancy Blades to beat Hunt. I've been impressed at what I've seen. His only loss is to Ngannou, and I think he's looked better in the last sort of 2 years than he did in that fight. I think he's developed quite. That was his first fight in the UFC as well. It's worth noting. So I'm excited for that fight. I mean, it's going to be a slugfest. Mark Hunt doesn't do anything else. So that's going to be a good fight. Romero against Rockhold has the potential to be the fight of the year, Mo. These guys are two elite level fighters. Romero's a monster, and Rockhold is probably the best middleweight fighter. Incredibly well rounded, you know, massive, like a huge middleweight, and would probably be the UFC champion still if he hadn't hurt his knee and then taken Bisping too easily.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, he was on a great run of form going into that fight against Bisping, and you know, perhaps was overconfident, thinking, oh, Bisping's an older fighter, certainly been in the wars as Bisping over, you know, a decade in the UFC, and perhaps coming in with somewhat of an injury as well also didn't help. But it all just worked out for Bisping that night. Finally won his first UFC championship, and obviously, you know, we saw Rockhold drop down to being a contender again, but it won't be long, hopefully, before he is back in title contention. And, you know, a victory over Romero almost certainly will ensure that Rockhold is lined up very, very shortly to become the number one contender for the middleweight championship. So that is UFC 221. Should be a big show coming out of Perth in Australia. And we have to wait no more than a week before the next UFC event, which happens to be taking place in Austin, Texas. It's another fight night. And this is on the 18th of February between UFC veteran Cowboy Cerrone against Yancy Medeiros. And that's the main event. But on the undercard, we've got Derek Lewis, another very hard hitter, taking on Marcin Tybura in another heavyweight semi-main event. So a couple of hard-hitting fights, and those should be pretty entertaining as well, Dave.
Yeah, should be a good card. Cerrone's one of those guys who just fights and fights and fights. Medeiros will give him a decent fight, but I do expect Cerrone's experience to see him through. The Lewis-Tybura fight will be fun. It will be fun because these two guys don't know how to do anything different other than just go out and throw at each other. So, although, you know, Tybura maybe with the submissions, he's looked fairly good on the ground, but it's been a while really since he's submitted anybody, I think, back to his M1 days. I'm looking forward to this card mainly because Thiago Alves is on the undercard, and I always like watching him fight. This is a fairly solid card, Mo. I do think this is one of the better fight night cards they've put on. UFC on Fox cards.
Yes, it is. It is certainly pretty decent. I mean, even Sage Northcutt, he's on the show as well. One of the other fighters that UFC has very high hopes for, largely because of how he looks. But yeah, the top two fights should both be entertaining. I personally fancy Medeiros in the main event. I think Cerrone having lost three times in a row. Perhaps his best years, best fights are past him now, but he's always dangerous, so you never know with him. And with Lewis, I just fancy him going into his fight against Tabura. You know, he's another one with a point to prove after losing to Mark Hunt the last time round. But we shall wait and see. But nonetheless, both should be highly entertaining contests. Then we've got another fight night, sorry, UFC on Fox show, which features Jeremy Stephens already back in action after his fight just a couple of weeks ago against Josh Emmett in a featherweight contest. But for a card that's quite a disappointing lineup, I mean, we have got, you know, Yesh Khandrade and obviously some Pruilli Latifi, but for a show that's taking place on network television, perhaps a disappointing one, and you know, certainly has the potential to be decent, but lineup wise doesn't seem all that overwhelming. And then we
it seems like a card for the sake of a card, Mo. I mean, Henan Brow is on the preliminary prelim card, and he should be exciting enough against Brian Gallagher. But you look at this card, and then you look the following week at UFC 222, and it's a pretty piss poor card as well. And you wonder why they didn't just combine the two and put together one decent card as opposed to two half-hour cards.
Well, that's it, absolutely. And this is one of the consequences of having almost too many fighters. They've got hundreds of fighters under contract, and you know, they're all banging at the door for UFC saying, look, we want more fights. And, you know, it's something that is a result of that, unfortunately. But the result is lots of cards that look underwhelming on paper. And, you know, this is another example of that. You know, putting together the better performers and better fights from these two cards would turn up, would result in a very, very entertaining card. But, you know, that's the way things are with UFC these days. But as you say, UFC 222, you know, is one of the big pay-per-view shows, take place out of Nevada, and Las Vegas will host that show out of the large T-Mobile Arena. Main event-wise, looking underwhelming at this moment in time, largely because, just announced in the past 24 hours, Max Holloway has an injury and has had to pull out of his featherweight championship defense against Frankie Edgar. So that's a big disappointment, because many were tipping that to be an early fight of the year contender as well. And so at this moment in time, until another fight is announced, the default main event is the rather underwhelming Stefan Struve against Andrei Arlovski.
Yeah, I mean, I think Edgar was going to pull out because he hurt his eye, and then Holloway pulled out because he hurt his leg. So that was scrapped. And then they tried to put together TJ versus Cody 2, and TJ doesn't want the fight because he's just had a child. He's not in training camp. He doesn't think Garbrandt deserves a title shot, and he also wants to fight Demetrius Johnson. They're the four excuses he's given. You pick one, you know. Pick one and then stick with it. Don't give four. They're going to have to find another fight here, Mo, because they cannot run Struve and Arlovski as the main event. Arlovski's years past his best. Struve is never and has never been a contender. And I mean, the co-main event is CB Dolloway and Hector Lombard. I mean, that's a prelim fight. So, you know, there's nothing on this card that makes me want to watch it at all from top to couple of the prelim fights will be fun. I quite like Sean O'Malley. I think he's pretty good. And the Jordan Johnson Adam Milstead fight should be exciting, but this is a waste of a card in my view. If the main event pulls and you're stuck with Struve and Arlovski, just cancel it. You're gonna lose money.
Yeah, cancel the whole show. I mean, that's happened as well in the past on one or two occasions where the undercard was so weak and they couldn't find a replacement main event that they cancelled the whole show. So don't be surprised, listeners, if you hear an announcement of UFC 222 being cancelled altogether and disappearing from the record books. So we should wait and see on that one. So that kind of covers the upcoming shows over the next few weeks. Some good fighters and good fights in amongst all of that. But Dave, we can't go an MMA monthly without talking about your fellow countryman, one Conor McGregor. So yet again, Can't keep out of the news. A lot of speculation about what his next move is. But since you've been back in Dublin, have you seen him around town? What mischief is he getting up to these days?
The rumours of what you hear are not good. He seems to be enjoying his lifestyle a little bit too much. I don't know if and when he's going to come back, though, Mo. It's going to be hard to motivate him to come back. I mean, Tony Ferguson would be an interesting fight for him. Khabib would be an interesting fight for him. But do they draw the money that he's going to want? They seem hesitant to put him against Nate again. If they strip him of the belt, I think they're going to piss him off something shocking. And he might just look to go and box again. Like, the Pacquiao fight is there if he wants it. Paulie Malignaggi is there if he wants it. And I mean, he could make $30 million fighting Paulie as opposed to $15 million fighting Khabib. And it doesn't matter if he wins or loses in boxing. He could make $70 million fighting Pacquiao. And again, it doesn't matter if he wins or loses. So it's hard to know what he'll do. Dana has said that for the moment, their plan is to move ahead without him, that they don't think he will fight again, or that they don't know for certain if he'll fight again. So it's going to take something big to bring him back. I think Diaz is the only real huge money fight until GSP comes back. And I've said to you before, I think that's the fight that everybody in the UFC will want, like in terms of the business people, because that's the biggest fight in UFC history. It's two of the four biggest stars they've ever had. Yeah. And like, Conor's not going to fight Brock Lesnar, and GSP's not going to fight Brock Lesnar, and the other one is Ronda Rousey. So, I mean, I think the only way they get Conor McGregor back to the UFC is they say, right, you have the Nate trilogy, and then you're fighting GSP regardless. Or they say to him, look, it's Nate versus Conor, and the winner fights GSP. And then I think if Conor fights GSP, they'll both make so much money that they might both just walk away afterwards. Because realistically, they could probably both make $30 million off that fight, and that's probably the best outcome for the UFC is how big that fight would be.
No, I agree, Dave. It's a fight that really could be huge, perhaps set the all-time pay-per-view record for UFC. Obviously, GSP has his ulcerative colitis at the moment to deal with. But the people around him are reckoning that he will be back next year. Hopefully will be. And if he does return, then that might be just the ideal time for him and Conor to be brought together for what would almost surely be the biggest fight in the history of the UFC. So, again, a mega fight to look forward to potentially for 2019. Right. So lots happened already this month. This year even. And lots more to happen over the coming weeks. We will hopefully be back again, listeners, in early March for another MMA Monthly, at which point we'll recap on the shows that we've just previewed, and then look forward to some big fights that will be coming up over the coming weeks post that show. So once again, listeners, thanks for joining us, and join us again next month. We will bring you another edition of MMA Monthly.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.